So, I thought for this week we'll try to have a Chanukah tie-in. We'll do a Tama Mitzvah, a reason behind the Mitzvah, and we'll tie it into Chanukah. So, but that Mitzvah is not going to be the Mitzvah of Chanukah, although there is extensive discussion if the Mitzvah of Chanukah falls under the 613 Mitzvah, whether when we say the number 613, is it Mitzvot, 613 mitzvot that were given at Sinai, or when the Gemara says the number 613, does it, can it include rabbinic mitzvot given later? That's, we'll leave that discussion aside. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. Hamadlik ner shel Chanukah tzarich levarich. Person who lights the Chanukah neros, the lights, candles, he has to make a bracha. And the Gemara goes into who and when, but then it says, Mai Mevarich, what bracha does he make? So what bracha do we make? Says the Gemara, Mevarich, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav, Vitzivanu, that he sanctified us with his mitzvos, and he commanded us, Lehadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, to light the candles of Chanukah. Now this, by the way, is perhaps why there are those who say that it counts as one of the mitzvahs, because that's what it says. It says, Vitzivanu. He commanded us, right? So it sounds like it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Veheichan Tzivanu, where did he command us to, what does it mean? How can you say Vitzivanu, that he commanded us to light the Chanukah candles? Where does it say in the Torah to light Chanukah candles? Sort of Avya Amar, Milo Sasur. Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Lo Sasur, Min Hadavar. Asher yagidu v'cha yaminu smol. Do not stray from the word that they tell you, neither right or left. Referring to the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, the pasuk there says, two pasukim really, it says, and you should do, based on, you should act based on the word, asisa piya davar asher yagidu v'cha, based on the word that they tell you, miha makoma hu, from that place, meaning the Sanhedrin, the high court, sitting right near the Har Habayis, near the temple. So it says, Minha makom ahu, from that place, Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that Hashem will choose, Bishamarta la'asos kecho Asher Yerucha, and you should guard, you should be careful to do all that they teach you. And then it says, Apia Torah Asher Yerucha, based on the Torah that they teach you, that they guide you, and based on the judgment that they tell you, you should act. And then this line, do not stray from that which they tell you, neither right nor left. Says the Gemara, that's where we have the mitzvah of lighting Neiros Chanukah. Because what does that pasuk teach you? That pasuk teaches you that you have to listen to what the chachamim say, what the sages say. And so included in that would be this mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a mitzvah of the rabbis. And included in that mitzvah of lo sasur would be this mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles. Rabbi Nechemya Amar, Nechemya quotes a different pasuk, Sha'al avicha v'yagedcha, zekeinecha v'yomruva. Pasuk, I think it's in Mitzavim, I think. But the pasuk says, ask your father and he'll tell you, your elders, and they will say over to you that you have to listen to what your elders tell you, and therefore that which the rabbis established as a mitzvah, we have a mitzvah, we have an imperative to listen to them. Right here we actually, interestingly, have a negative commandment of Osasur, and seemingly a positive commandment of, at least the way Yom Nechemya presents it, Zikeinecha v'yom ruvach, although I don't think that's classically counted as an actual mitzvah. There's another different positive mitzvah to listen to the rabbis, I think that the mitzvah of to go with the rabbin, to go with the majority opinion among the rabbis. That's a positive commandment. I believe that that's, we talk about, we're going to talk about that there's both a positive and a negative commandment to listen to the chachamim. So certainly the negative commandment is this pasuk lo sasur, and I didn't, I don't remember what the positive commandment is, but it may refer, when they refer to the positive commandment, could be they're referring to the mitzvah to go after the majority, with the rabbi's rule. I don't think anybody would argue that that's a mitzvah. The question of Hallel there is a different question of whether you can make a holiday, but I don't think anybody would argue that there's a mitzvah. We don't have a Sanhedrin. We don't have a. It's not necessarily the opinion of the leading rabbis of the generation. I don't think that anybody would consider that a mitzvah. I mean, I guess that somebody might consider it a mitzvah. But when we're discussing rabbinic mitzvahs here, we're really talking about mitzvahs that were established, in the days of at least Chazal. Although we'll see that there is, a reference to the possibility that, that this mitzvah may be telling you that in each generation you have to listen to your chachamim. So, I guess it may depend what camp you're from, if that's what your chachamim are telling you to do. But there may be a mitzvah. We'll see that in defining what this mitzvah is. Again, our focus isn't necessarily to get into the definition, but there is a discussion about whether it's specifically a mitzvah that the Sanhedrin establishes, or even in every generation. As we'll see in the Chinuch, he will make that point. So I want to, during this year, discuss two points. One is just generally related to just the general topic of Lo Sasur, and then we'll tie it back to Hanukkah. I want to talk about why it is that specifically by the mitzvah of Neiros Hanukkah, that's where they make this presentation. That's where the Gemara says, Heichan Tivano, where were we commanded? Right, it doesn't ask that question, let's say, by the mitzvah of Lulav, even though the mitzvah of Lulav is only on the first day of Sukkot, Midaraisa, and at least outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's only a mitzvah to shake a Lulav on the first day, but the Chachamim were misaking, they established that we would take it every day, Zecher the Mikdash, as a memory of the Mikdash, but the Gemara doesn't say, about that bracha, right? And we know the bracha there is also, we make a bracha every day on the Lulav, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvosav, Vitzivanu, and commanded us on taking the Lulav. Well, on the fourth day of Sukkot, there's no commandment in the Torah to take a Lulav, but it seems it's from the same place. Lo Sasur, it's the same. But yet the Gemara doesn't ask it there. So why does it specifically ask it with regard to Hanukkah? Why is that where we want to teach this lesson that there's a that the mitzvos derabanan can be considered, tzivanu, commanded, and it's here that we want to teach that idea. So we'll come back to that question for the second half of this year. First half, I want to just discuss the mitzvah of Lo Sasur in general. What is the reason for this mitzvah? And really, the Rishonim seem to, the ones that I saw, all give basically the same construct, the same basic reasoning behind this mitzvah. There's little subtle differences in presentation, which we'll try to highlight. So the Sefer HaChinuch here is very beautiful, whole presentation. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that what's the root of this mitzvah? What lies behind this mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim? He says everybody has a different opinion, a different perspective, a different outlook, and Hashem, in his great wisdom, knew that if the interpretation of Torah was left up to each individual person, so then, that we didn't have to act based on any the rabbi's interpretation of the Torah, well, then everybody will have his own interpretation, and there will be great machlokes, great dispute in Israel of what the interpretation of the Torah is, and we'll end up with numerous Torahs, right? And really, you know, unfortunately, we somewhat have that, where we have many different, you know, even within, you know, the from world, but that, you know, there's different misoros, but that's at least not reinterpreting. But nowadays, you know, we have all types who want to just give their own interpretation and not follow Chazal and not, right, and apply their own opinions and perspectives and biases, and here we have a mitzvah. It says, listen to what the Chachamim taught us. What Chazal tell us is the approach. Even if I want to read the pasuk differently, but okay, you know, maybe in pshat, maybe in learning, right? We often have different interpretations in pshat, even in the Rishonim and simple understanding of the pesukim. But as long as it's not going to lead to a difference in action and a different and many different toros, so you know, and like total rejection of the opinions of the rabbis, so then that's what we're afraid of here. He says that this is, I already wrote about this by the mitzvah of going by based on the majority, that really the mitzvah of going based on the majority really confines it to, you know, and which rabbis are you supposed to go with, and that will be, you'll go with the you know, the majority opinion among the authorities at least. So therefore he says, Hashem in his great wisdom, he, in order to he says, Hishlim Torasenu Toras Emes, in its perfecting of the Torah and in its perfection, so he commanded us to go with the perish, with the explanation that's mekubal, that's been accepted from our chachamim and those that preceded us, and then so okay, that's how he starts off, and then he throws in this part about, you know, how he applies in each generation. He says, and really, in every generation also, there's a mitzvah to listen to our chachamim, that kiblu divrayim, they received the tradition from their teachers, the shasu mayim misifrayim, and they drink the waters of the svarim, the yigu kama yigios v'yamim ulelos, and they invested, toiled day and night to understand the that which they were being taught, l'havim omek mileim u'plios da'oseim, to understand the depth of the opinions of Chazal and of the Rishonim and of the those that came before us, and with that we can come to the true path. And if not for this, if each one was left up to his own decisions, then we would be seduced by our own thoughts and our own perspective and our lack of knowledge, and we would have no hatzlacha. And that's the basic idea. And he says that the Chazal tell us, Rashi brings this down in Parsha Shoftim, where this pasuk appears, that Chazal say, right, the pasuk says, don't stray yamin or small, don't stray right or left. And the Gemara and Chazal say, to Sifri, to Medrash, afilu yomru lecha al yamin shu small, even if the rabbis tell you that right is left, and they tell you that left is right, still you have to listen to them. Even though it goes totally opposite of what you think, they, you know, this is right, and they're telling you it's left, you still have to listen to them. What does that mean? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, what it means is, even if they're mistaken, you know they're making, you know, you're 100% sure they're making a mistake. 100%. Still, you still listen to what they say. And it's better for us, he says, to be sovel, to handle, to accept a mistake and live with it, rather than leave everything up to everyone. Because we would either have one mistake and everything else okay, or we're just going to have everybody doing, you know, free-for-all, and everybody's going to be doing a different thing. And that's what Chazal are telling you. It's true. They could make a mistake. It's true. It could happen. That's what the Sifri is telling you. Or the teachers, the sages, you know, people make mistakes. It can happen. But even if you're convinced that they made a mistake, you're 100% sure, that doesn't give you the right. Or it's not just the right. It's that you, it still doesn't mean that it is right to go against them. What's right is to still listen to them, because otherwise, again, it becomes a free-for-all. Everybody thinks that they're right, you know, and goes with their own opinion. And then we're left with a million different Torahs. And then it says that's why the interpretation of Torah is handed to the Chachamim. And this really falls into the, we're not going to get too into it, but into the concept of Loba Shamayim. That the Torah is no longer in heaven, that it's up to the Chachamim to interpret it. And the Sefer HaChinuch actually brings in the famous Gemara about the Tanur Shalach Hanai, where Rabbi Eliezer had a dispute against all the other Chachamim about the purity status of a certain oven, whether it was considered I think, broken, and then once it's broken, then it could become tar again. And whatever the dispute was, it was a raging dispute, and it was him against everyone, and the Gemara has, you know, he basically called in many miracles to show that he was right. He said, if I'm right, then all the walls of the Beis Medrash should cave in, or the river should overflow, and all these different things. And Abascal even came out saying that he was right, and still, you know, we still didn't pass King like that. We still went against him, even though the heavens were basically saying that he was right. And the reason is because the Loba Shemayim, the Torah is not in heaven. It's been given to us, and we have a halacha that we go with the majority, and we're going to follow that halacha. So the Gemara recounts a fascinating thing. It says that that Reb Nosson found Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what was the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing at that time, when all this was going on? Or at the end of all this, you know, once we paskin against Rabbi Eliezer, even though, you know, he seemed to be right, and the heavens agreed with him, Hashem agreed with him. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at that time? On my way, Eliyahu HaNavi said, you know what he was doing? Chaya. He was smiling, he was laughing. And what was he saying? The Amar Nitzchuni Banai. He was laughing and he was saying, my children have defeated me. This is wonderful. Beautiful. My children have defeated me. So as I say for HaChinuch, what's going on here? Right? Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy about this? What does he mean, they defeated me? Right? So says the Sefer HaChinuch beautifully that Chas V'Shalom, that, you know, you could defeat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no such thing. Right? But what it means is that in this machlokes, in this dispute, Rabbi Eliezer against everyone else, Rabbi Eliezer was right. He was right about the ultimate truth. He was correct. And there was a bas kol that came out, a heavenly voice that came out, you know, in his support. And even still, right, despite, you know, him being right, he couldn't convince everyone else that he was right. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it, and they would not agree. Even after the Baskel, even after the heavenly voice, they still wouldn't agree. And they said, Acharei Rabin Mohatos, we go with the majority. That's Valacha. It's always Valacha. Bein Yomer Emes, whether what the Rabbim is saying is true or not, you still go with the majority opinion. And that's what they went with. So said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nitzchuni Banai, my children have defeated me. Meaning, they're defeating me because they're not going with the true halacha. He was right, Rabbi Eliezer was right. But they're coming with a mitzvah in the Torah that says, despite that you're right, again, they don't admit that he's right, but it doesn't matter if you're right or not, since we don't understand that way, we go with the majority, and that's the halacha. And that's halacha, that's undisputed, you know, we go with the majority.
talked about how
and therefore
that someone who sees
we have to agree to what they say, even if it's not the truth. Even if it's not the truth. And
both
it's like they defeated the you know, the Baal HaEmes, the master of truth. It's like they overrode Hashem. They did. They overrode the Emes. But that was the right thing to do. That was Acharei Rabin Lahatos, you go with the majority. Lo Sasser, don't stray from the opinion of the Chachamim. These are interwoven, these two halachos. And that was halacha. And Hashem was smiling. They did the right thing. They did the right thing, even though it wasn't the emet. You know, it wasn't the ultimate truth. But that happens sometimes, and you still go with the majority. And the Sefer HaChinuch is giving us insight into this, that the reason is because it's worth it. It's worth it once in a while to have something that's off to keep everything else on. The sacrifice we're willing to make. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Unbelievable. The Ramban really, Sefer HaChinuch bases much of what he says on either the Rambam or the Ramban. And the Ramban in his Chidushim al HaTorah in Parsha Shoftim, he says very similar to the Sefer HaChinuch. And you know, he gives it, it's a little more graphic in a way. He says, "Don't say, you know, how could I eat this chaylev, this forbidden fat? You know, or how can I kill this person? How can I take part in this capital punishment if I think he's innocent?" But the you know, the base thing, Paskin, they say, you know, he needs to be killed, but I think that they're wrong, right? Or they say this is kosher, but I don't think it is, right? How could I take part in that? But what he should say, says Rabban Aval Tomar, he should say, Kach Siva Osiyad Ha'adon Ha'mitzuvah Ha'mitzvot. That's what Hashem commanded me. Hashem commanded me, She'eseh b'chol mitzvosav k'chol asher yoruni ha'omdim l'fanav b'mokom asher yitzhak. Whatever the sages say, that's what I should do.
And we should have a bracha for
Siva. Even if they're mistaken.
Right,
there's a famous Gemara where Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel came out with a different calculation for when Yom Kippur should fall out. And Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, I want you to come and show up on my doorstep carrying your staff and your money on the day that you think is Yom Kippur. Because at the end of the day, even if you think that, you know, Wednesday is Yom Kippur and I say that it's Thursday, what I say as the leader, as the Nasi goes, and what you say doesn't go, and you need to be machnir, you have to bend yourself to that. And therefore I want you to come on the day that you think it's Yom Kippur and carry on Yom Kippur,
and
show up. Because at the end of the day, you have to go with, that's this mitzvah, to listen to the Chachamim. And again, the Ramban, like the Sefer HaChinuch says, that the reason for this mitzvah is, because we have a written Torah, and it could be open to interpretation, and everybody has different opinions, and if it wasn't left to central, you know, system of power, of authority, to determine how to interpret the Torah, then we'll be left with many different Torahs. And like the Sefer HaChinuch, maybe based on this Ramban, that's what the Ramban says is the reason. And the Ramban throws in at the end that even if in your eyes it's like switching the right to the left, so you should assume though that at the end of the day you're wrong, because even if it seems like they're saying right is left, they're probably saying right is right, and especially, you know, Ruach Hashem, Hashem gives the Chachamim and the Rabbanim a Siyata Deshmaya, or a Hakodesh of some sort, heavenly assistance in drawing the correct conclusion, and therefore you should assume that they are in fact correct. That's what the Ramban says. Now, there's an interesting question that's discussed by the Rambam and the Ramban. They debate it. as to what is included in
this
mitzvah of
Los
Sasser. What rabbinic mitzvahs are included in this mitzvah? So the Rambam writes that whether it's something that the Chachamim are basing on tradition, on based on the way they interpret the Torah, using the drashos, anything not explicit, you're using drashos to learn something out, or something that's just a decree, a rabbinic decree, to protect the laws of the Torah, or
if you have a house, you need to put a mezuzah by the Pesach. If you don't have
customs right, like Ner Chanukah and things like that.
Right?
All that is included in the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Ramban has a big problem with his Rambam. To say that everything, every rabbinic decree is included in Lo Sasser is very, in this De'oraita, is very difficult in the eyes of the Ramban. And the reason for that, he says that the Rambam is building a big wall around the Chachamim to say that everything is included, any rabbinic decree is included in this negative commandment, is very difficult. Because what happens, what's going to happen is, let's say, for example, something on Shabbos. Let's say, just for example, many of the Isurei Shabbos, things that we don't do on Shabbos, are only forbidden rabbinically, right? Or let's say, let's say, Melacha Sheina Tricha Lagufa. A Melacha, something that you don't actually need for the action, meaning, like, let's say, the classic example would be to dig a hole for the dirt, but not for the actual hole. So that digging a hole for the hole falls under the malacha of plowing. That's what plowing is, loosening up dirt and making holes. That's what plowing is. But I'm not making a hole. I'm just getting dirt, right? So that's not an issur d'oraisa. According to the Torah, that would be permitted. However, the way we talk to him, Lisa, that's only forbidding midrabban, and that's rabbinically forbidden. So let's take that for example. Or eating chicken with milk. It's forbidding midrabban, something like that. So he says, what would come out is all these things would really, if the rabbi said it, so then it really becomes d'oraisa. Because there's to transgress that rabbinic command is really transgressing the mitzvah d'oraisa of Lo Sasser, don't stray from what the rabbis say. So every single rabbinic mitzvah becomes a biblical mitzvah. Now, okay, what's wrong with that? Maybe I can accept that. So here's the problem with that. The problem is that we have all sorts of leniencies all over Shas, the Gemara, and Halacha, where we're more lenient on rabbinic laws than we are on biblical laws. For example, Safik Zerabbanan Lehakel, that we're, if we have a Safik, if we have an uncertainty. So if it's over a question of a transgressing a biblical commandment of D'oraisa, then the Halacha is that we are Machmir, we're stringent. But if it's a rabbinic, if it's only Dirabanan, then we go Lekula, we're Mekel, we're lenient. Now, but if every Dirabanan is really a D'oraisa, then why are we more lenient? It's really D'oraisa, we should be Machmir. And in general, we have many examples of things like that. He lists off like a huge list of them, the Ramban. The Ramban, against the Rambam. Nachmanides against Maimonides. So, let's see some of his examples. He says, "Ketanim, children are trusted when it comes to at least in certain situations about rabbinic things that they're not trusted about biblical." He says, "Right, we mentioned Sfeikos, that when we uncertainties, there are certain assumptions that we're willing to make when something's only rabbinic that we wouldn't make if it was biblical." So in many examples where we're more lenient when something is rabbinic than if it's biblical. So he says, but if everything that's rabbinic is really a d'oraisa, Then why, how could we be lenient?
We're not bothered.
So says the Ramban that really, here's the,
you
know what's included in the law of Lo Sasser and the negative commandments of Lo Sasser?
Each person have their own mezuzah for house, right?
Hadavar Barer, it's clear to me
bothered.
That the lab of Lo Sasser, the negative commandment, only applies to the things that Chazal are saying in interpreting the Torah, like in their drashos, in their Gzeirah Shavas, in their anything that's a drasha that's learned out from the Sukkim themselves. That's part of in interpreting the Torah. That's where we have a mitzvah of Lo Sasser. But something that the Rabbanan add on, you know, as a protection. Or a decree, or a new mitzvah, that wouldn't be included in Lo Sasser. The Ramban argues on the Rambam. The Rambam says anything rabbinic is included in Lo Sasser, whether it's just a protective decree, or it's an interpretation of the psukim, or it's a mitzvah like Ner Chanukah. And the Ramban says, no, only things that are an interpretation of the psukim are included in Lo Sasser. So then we are faced with the question, so what about the Gemara that we started with that says that Ner Chanukah, it says, how could we say Vitzivana that we're commanded? It says from Lo Sasser. Learn from Lo Sasser. Right, so the Ran asks this question, and the Ran says that it's just an Esmachta. Esmachta means that you know it's not actually included, but it's the same idea. That Esmachta generally means like it's hinted to in the Torah, it's a hint to this idea. The way the Ran speaks it out is that once we see that the Torah said Lo Sasser, that we have to listen to the Chachamim in their interpretation of the Torah itself, according to the Ramban, right? Because that's what the mitzvah is, only to listen to them in their interpretation of the Torah. But says the Ran, but we can what the Ramban holds is that we can extrapolate from there that we should also listen to everything else that they say. Any takana, if we're supposed to listen to them in their drashos, in their interpretation of Torah, then we can extrapolate from there that we should listen to all of their decrees as well. But it's not actually included in the mitzvah. It's an extrapolation of that mitzvah, but it's not part of the actual definition of the mitzvah, and therefore it's rabbinic. While not listening to them in one of their drashos, one of their interpretations of the Torah, it's true, that becomes a deraisa. That's a mitzvah deraisa to listen to them. Lo Sasser. And according to the Ramban, all these halachos we would treat like a deraisa. In a suffix and uncertainty, we would be stringent. But decrees that they made later, so that we learned that we should listen to them from the idea of Lo Sasser. But at the end of the day, it's not part of the official mitzvah of Lo Sasser. It wouldn't be considered a biblical mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles, for example. It would only be rabbinic because it's not part of the strict definition of Lo Sasser to listen to their decrees and their protective decrees and their takanos and their mitzvahs.
So how do you distinguishing between the rabbis having interpreted
So sometimes something's not explicit in the Torah, a mitzvah, or the way that a mitzvah is applied, and there's a drasha to teach it.
So the application of it is considered from Lo Sasser. It's still right.
You might say, I read the Pesukim, and I don't see them. They're saying that the mitzvah is X. But if I read the Pesukim, it doesn't say that, right? You know, it doesn't say that that's what this mitzvah is. It doesn't say that it's restricted to this or that it includes this. Who says that it includes that? So that part of a Lo Sasser is that you have to listen to their interpretation. And that makes their interpretation have deraisa.
What would not have? What would still be problematic?
So let's say a protective decree. Like don't drag the, don't dig a hole on Shabbos because, even for the dirt because, you might... That would also be part of this. And Hanukkah, it would be rabbinic because they're not trying to interpret the Pesukim and say that the Torah really is telling you that.
Okay.
They're telling you we have a great idea. What we should start doing is in memory of the Beis Hamikdash, we should take the lulav every day, and we're going to make that a mitzvah derabbanan. So then. It becomes an obligation, a rabbinic obligation, but it remains rabbinic, according to the Ramban. So, okay, I have to start, start moving here so we can get to Hanukkah. But I just want to offer one answer to the what the Ramban's questions on the Rambam, which is the Meshech Chochma's answer, which really ties into the reason for Lo Sasa that we've given up till now. And says so says again, the Ramban's challenge to the Rambam was that, according to you, that anything the rabbis say is part of Lo Sasa, then everything becomes Deoraisa. And if everything is Deoraisa, then what are all these special exceptions that we make for Derabanan? That, you know, like in uncertainty or in the trustworthiness of a child or things like that, if everything is really Deoraisa. So says the Meshech Chochma that the Torah wanted, Hashem wanted, that besides for those aspects of the Torah that are nitzi, that are eternal, that are, you know, the, you know, in the Torah itself, explicit, unexplicit, but that the rabbis should also be mechadish, should teach new mitzvahs as well, protections and stringencies and all these things that we're talking about, according, you know, based on the time that they live in and the generation, etc. And that's part of the Torah wanted that the Chachamim have that ability and that strength to do that, that authority to do that, to make new takanos, new decrees.
So that would be Derabbanan, or that would be Deoraisa?
So the Torah is giving them this authority to do that. However, that within that is also the possibility that another Beis Din can come. If it's Gadol Mimeno B'Chachmo V'Minyan, if it's greater in number and wisdom, and they can override something that another Beis Din did. Which means that which we're empowering the rabbis, giving them the authority to make decrees, and it's biblically binding that we have to listen to them, but it's not necessarily eternal. It you know, it doesn't have that nitzi, that eternal nature, that eternal nature that the Torah itself has. Because another Beis Din can come and say, you know, actually, that doesn't apply, or that wasn't such a good idea, or they made a mistake. They can override, as long as it's the right, you know, the right type of Beis Din. So, however, in order that in any generation, again, like we've been describing before, in the Tama Mitzvah, that nobody can get up and say, I'm not listening to the rabbis. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. So the Torah comes and says, Lo Sasa, you have to listen to them. However, what is the mitzvah to listen to them? What is the mitzvah of Lo Sasa? The mitzvah is to listen to them. That's the mitzvah. That, and again, it's a protection against people doing their own thing. That in order that we won't have agudos, we won't have groups, everybody doing their own thing, which wasn't the Ratzon of Hashem, right? And going back to the time of mitzvah, we don't want everybody doing their own Torah. So and keeping their own version of Judaism. So therefore, says the Torah, you have to listen to the Chachamim. But and if you don't, then you transgress this mitzvah of Lo Sasa. But the mitzvah is the definition of the mitzvah is to listen to what the Chachamim say. That's the definition of the mitzvah. The problem with not listening to them isn't necessarily that they said don't do this and this, and you did that and that. That's not the problem, that what they said not to do becomes in itself, you know, a negative commandment, don't do that. Or when they say to light Hanukkah candles and you don't, it's not that you didn't do the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. That's not what the problem is. What you've transgressed is you didn't listen to the rabbi. That's the definition of this mitzvah, that you didn't listen to the rabbi. And
why isn't there
and he says, again, whether it was a good decree that they made, whether it wasn't a good decree, but it's not eternal, right? It's something that could be overridden. And it's not on the same level. What they've decreed isn't on the same level as a deraisa. There's a deraisa that binds us to listen to them. That says you have to listen to the rabbi so that we don't have everybody doing their own thing. But at the end of the day, the mitzvah that they've invented won't have the same status, the negative or the positive mitzvah, as a deraisa. The rabbis Certainly, he says, so let's say, for example, when you have a suffix, right? So we say suffix Rabban Lakula, right? In a situation where you're unsure, we're lenient. Why? Why are we lenient? Right? Isn't there a mitzvah of lo sasser to listen to the rabbis? And that's a d'oraisa? Yeah, but says the Mishnah Chochma, they didn't say to listen to us in the situation where you're not sure. If you might come to do this thing that they said not to do, we're not worried about that. We're not worried that you did, because the action itself isn't the problem. The problem is not listening to them. And this isn't not listening to them, because they never said to listen to them in a case where you're uncertain. Right? They only want you to listen to them if you're sure that this is, you know, let's say that, you know, they said, don't carry something, even if it's unimportant, right? Normally, to transgress the biblical commandment of carrying in public domain, it has to be something chashuv, something of significance. But the rabbis say don't carry anything, right? Let's say you're not sure if you're carrying for whatever reason. It's a suffix of some sort, right? So we would say suffix mirabanan lakua. Now you could be suffix mirabanan. Ah, but you're not listening to rabbis. No, you are listening to them. They never said don't carry in that situation. They only said don't carry if you're sure. But if you're not sure about if this is where their decree applies, then they say, oh, no problem. Because the whole problem is not listening to what they said. And here it's not a lack of listening to what they said. They never said not to do it in a situation of suffix. They're okay. If you end up doing it, it's okay. Another example is that, right, he says, it's not like, let's say they said, you know, not to eat something. Midrabonan, we don't want you to eat this, okay? It's not like you, and then you have an uncertainty. So if you're not sure if it's chazir, if it's pig, pork, or not, and then you eat it, and then ends up being pork, then you ate something trace, right? That you transgress that mitzvah. And so be suffic on a d'oraisa in a situation of uncertainty, we say you gotta err on the side of caution. But on a d'rabanan, if they say we don't want you to eat this certain thing you because it's similar to the gid anasheh, and you have a suffic, maybe it's that thing you that's only rabbinically forbidding, or maybe it's kosher meat. You're not sure. So the rabbis won't say there don't eat it. They'll say we have no problem if you eat that because we only said not to eat it when you're sure that it's this thing. But if you're not sure, then we let you eat it. And so therefore, you're not transgressing anything. In a situation of suffix, you're allowed to go with the lenient side. The same thing, that's why a d'oraisa always overrides a d'rabbanan. Because the rabbis never wanted their mitzvah to be, never intended, or don't even have the authority to make their mitzvah on a level of a d'oraisa. So a d'oraisa will always override a d'rabbanan, because they just don't have the authority to, they just don't have the authority to make a mitzvah greater, and so they never said that this mitzvah of theirs should be better than a d'oraisa. And that's why, even though in certain situations, right, normally you have to listen to them, lo sasser, but they, in a case where he runs up against the d'oraisa, then they back off and they say, actually, over here, since it's against the d'oraisa, we're not going to tell you to override the d'oraisa to keep our rabbinic law. We withdraw our command for this situation. And therefore, if you do not, if you don't listen to the rabbis in this situation, you're really listening to them, right? They don't want you to apply their mitzvah in this situation if it's going to run up against the d'oraisa. So there's no lack of, it's not that you're not listening to them, you are listening to them in that situation. That's why a d'oraisa will always override a d'rabbanan. And this is how we want to interpret the Rambam's opinion. That the Rambam's saying all mitzvot are, every rabbinic decree falls under the mitzvah d'oraisa of lo sasser, but the mitzvah is to listen to the rabbis. And there are certain situations where the rabbis are going to withdraw their command to listen to them. Like in a case of suffix, or in a case of where it's going up against the d'oraisa. In those situations, that's why we'll say suffix d'rabbanan lakua, a rabbinic decree, will be lenient, or a d'oraisa will override a d'rabbanan.
You participated in the
mitzvah. Okay. Let's turn to Hanukkah in the last few minutes here, and we open with a question: why is it specifically here that the Chachamim wanted to teach us the mitzvah to listen to Chachamim of Lo Sofer.
So
the Goldbach from Karen Biavne has a beautiful piece about this. We're going to have to just summarize it quickly. But he says that he asks a few questions. One of them is that we know that the Yevanim made a decree against Shabbos, Mila, and Rosh Chodesh. So he asks, you know, Shabbos and Mila, I understand. Those are osos. Those are signs, right? Osi le'olam. It's a sign of our connection to Hashem. Those are major mitzvot. I understand why they would want to stamp that out. But Rosh Chodesh? You know, why Rosh Chodesh? Where, what was it about Rosh Chodesh that the Yevanim, you know, were so against? So he brings in the Maharal. And the Maharal lays down an idea. The Maharal wants to explain that, in general, the reason, right, the Yevanim, the Greeks, they were, you know, they were, as we know, a wise civilization, right? Some of the greatest, you know, thinkers of history came from the Greeks. They were advanced, they were progressive, they were thinkers and men of wisdom. So what was it that they were, you know, you might have thought that they would respect a Jewish nation that has a Torah, that has wisdom. What was it that about the Torah that you know, got to them, that was such an issue for them? The Maharal explains that their hisnagdus, their opposition was really in that their wisdom was ended at, you know, it was wisdom that ended there. It didn't translate itself into action in any way, but more importantly, it didn't transform the person. It didn't have the ability to transform the person, or to transform anything for that matter. It was wisdom, as opposed to the Torah. The Torah, they saw that. They understood that, at least that we believe that, and we see that it has the ability to affect a transformation on a person and on the world. It's a godly wisdom, the Torah. The Chochma Elokis, it's a godly wisdom. That's why, right, famously they said, you know, the Medrash says that they said, right on the horn of your oxen, she'engachem chelek be'elokei Yisrael, that you don't have a portion in the God of Israel. Why are they saying you don't have a chelek, you don't have a portion in the God of Israel? They were trying to say, you don't have a chelek, you don't have a portion in this, it's a portion of God almost, you know, it's a chelek, it's a portion in Elokei Yisrael, and Hashem has empowered us with the Torah to transform ourselves, and also to transform the world. He goes on and he gives various examples where we find that that the Rabbanan, the sages, as we mentioned, have the ability to be kovea, to establish things in creation, right? And so one of these, and Rosh Chodesh is an example of this, right? The Torah empowers the Talmud Chacham, the sages, the Sanhedrin, to, in a way that they can affect the world. So, right, in a spiritual way and in a physical way. On a spiritual level, we're taught that every yontif isn't just a commemoration of that time, but on that day of that yontif, there's a spiritual significance where that a spiritual koach, a power in the world of that day that re-enters the world on that day. And so, like on Pesach, let's say if it's freedom, you know, or Avdus or whatever it is, on that day, that defines that day. And it's a spiritual power within creation that comes on that day. Now, who decides what day Pesach is? We do, right? We get, that's what Rosh Chodesh is, that we were given the ability to be Mikadesh the Chodesh, to sanctify the moon, new moon. We decide when Rosh Hashanah is. That, or, you know, at least in the days that we were in the Kaddish, the Chodesh, the Yerushalmi says that Beis Din says, today is Rosh Hashanah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to his angels, get everything ready, get the sage ready, get the accusers, get the defendants, get everything ready, it's Yom HaDin today. Then all of a sudden, Edom come, witnesses come, and they say
as far as the brothers,
if Beis Din decides to be Ma'aber the Chodesh, to add another day of Elul, so then Hashem says, put it away, put everything away, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide when is the Yom HaDin based on the, you know, our actions. Another example is that the pasuk says, "Ekra le'elokim elyon." Lakel gomer alai. Hashem guides things based on the actions of the sages. The example that the Yerushalmi gives, this is a physical example, that if a girl is a girl who loses her virginity before 3 years old, the Gemara says that it grows back up to 3 years old. After 3 years old, it won't grow back. So the Gemara says that, let's say she was 3 years old and 1 day, and then somehow she lost her virginity. And she's 3 years old and 1 day, so it doesn't grow back because she's over 3 years old. And then Beis Din decides to extend the Adar, the Shana, they make another month on the year, they add another Adar. So then it turns out that her birthday didn't come, she didn't turn 3 yet. And then she turns 3, so all of a sudden she's given the physical capacity for it to return once again. That's another example that Yerushalmi gives. Lakel gomer alai, that the Chachamim have the ability, the Torah empowers us to actually affect, you know, physical, you know, the physical world. They talk about this in terms of trefas. The Chazanish discusses it, that it could be that based on whether the rabbi thinks that the animal is a trefa, which means that it's going to die within 1 year, or he paskins that it's not, may determine whether it actually dies within 1 year or it doesn't. If the rabbi says it's a trefa and it's going to die, then it will die. It could be. And if he doesn't, then it will live. That we can determine the stock of the Chachamim. The Chachamim have the ability to control the physical creation. It says, based on all this, that was what the Greeks were so against. They couldn't come to terms with this, that our Chachma had this ability to transform a Chacham and to affect the Bria, to affect the all of creation. That it's a Chachma Elokis, it's a godly wisdom. It goes beyond just, you know, book knowledge. It's so much more than that, transformational. That was what their opposition was against, and therefore it's by Chanukah that the Gemara wants to bring out the idea of Lo Sasser. Don't stray from anything that the Chachamim say, because if we understand that was the opposition of the Greeks was to this great ability of the Chachamim, this empowerment that Chachamim have, that the Torah gives a person, this transformation. That's what their opposition was against, and that's. In a way, what we were victorious in regaining on Chanukah, and therefore specifically by Chanukah that the Chachamim wanted to teach us, the Gemara wanted to teach us about Lo Sasser, this mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim.